for your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6. It's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6. It's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6. It's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6. It's Scalzo and Brust.
Live from the Park Bank ESPN Madison Studios.
It's a party, baby.
This is Bud Light Scalzo and Brust. Woo! On 100.5 ESPN party, and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby. Woo! It's a party, baby.
Across 100.5 ESPN here in Madison. He is big time Benny Blu-ray Ben Brust. I'm Greg Scalzo, the Joshy DiMaggio, joining us as well. Hanging out at the Park Bank ESPN Madison Studios downtown off the Capitol Square. Our guy Hunter Vaughn running the show for us today. Shout out Hunter.
Sup?
Hello.
Yep, we got you. Ben just wanted to say what's up. Had to turn the mic up, too.
Well, I didn't touch it. I normally have my volumes where I need it to be, but Josh DiMaggio...
Well, you're louder than us because you have a fancy big bulb mic on there. And
what?
So we were trying to make sure that we were
equitable.
Even because yesterday there was some feedback on the sound of the show. But, Ben...
Yesterday was a normal show.
When were we Madison only again?
Tuesday.
2 days ago? On Tuesday, but if you feel more comfortable being the loudest on the show, then
I'm never the loudest on the show. You're the loudest.
Every time we use this piece of equipment, Ben Brust is the loudest on the
show.
I
use this piece of equipment every single day at the Fiserv Forum.
No,
I bring this equipment
every time you're at the Fiserv Forum. But
yeah.
Then Josh DiMaggio gets to even out the levels.
So you're saying.
Because
I'm just saying, I put it at the same spot every single
yes,
time,
but he
gets to adjust it on the board here.
Whatever level you put it at on your thing doesn't matter, because then Josh gets to adjust your level on the main board.
Well, then it's on Hunter.
No, it's not, because we're all on the same piece
now.
Of equipment. So you're louder than us going through our piece of equipment. So if he were to turn all of us down, then all of us go down. It's fine. I'm good with you being the loudest.
No, this is good for me to learn.
Yes. I just love the fact that we tried to correct it.
Yeah.
And Ben, first thing before we could even get into the show, is leaning over in front of Josh and turning dials and continues to do so.
Well, now I'm just turning myself up in my ears.
You love the dials, though.
It makes me feel like I know what I'm doing when I really don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I accept it.
Yeah, it's like everyone wants to like act like they know how to control anything that's super. Like, I want to know how to fly a plane. Like, do you see how many buttons are in a plane? Like, and how many things they have to do and prepare and like.
How many buttons do you think they actually touch in that?
They can't be as much as they have.
No,
they can't. You're telling me a pilot knows every single button in that cockpit?
Yes.
No.
They better.
No way.
They better.
What do you mean? There's
like,
way too many
it's
buttons.
It's a plane. Yeah, of course there is, because there needs to be.
Do you think they know what all the signals mean? Because, like, if you're driving your car and a light pops on, do you know what every light means?
We're driving cars, though.
Yeah, and imagine how many
more
lights
buttons
there
and
are.
Lights and...
Yeah.
But it's their job. I'm sure if you are an 18-wheel trucker, then the lights that pop on, you know what they mean. Like, you're talking about a pilot who has to go through thousands of hours of training just to get their pilot's license. I'm pretty sure they know how to adjust the dials,
I have a question.
How the lights work. We need an official, unofficial pilot of the Scouts and Brust.
Yeah, we're lacking that.
Preferably one that owns a small plane that we could utilize in order to transport. So please, if you are a pilot, call us on the temporary patented official Scouts and Brust talk and text line 844-770-3776. That's 844-770-3776. Looking for the official, unofficial pilot of the Scouts and Brust family.
Like, why don't, like, pilots have, like, a camera for, like, people to watch? You know what I mean? Like, why do they have a, just, like, a closed door? And it's like, all right, once the pilot door's shut, you have no idea what the hell is going on until you land. You know what I mean?
Well, like, one, you don't want to know what's going on until you land. Two, it's for the safety of the aircraft. And three, I do think once you get up in the air, it's generally pretty smooth sailing, and they're probably not. They say
once you get to 10,000 feet, like, you're basically, like, that's a really good percentage.
When we flew on the PJ, you could tell there was some times where he was working hard, and you could tell there was some times where we were
just
cruising.
Chilling. Yeah, I know.
I didn't get to sit up front. I kind of wish I got to sit up front
there.
Big regret.
We were feeling the vibes.
We were drinking Bud Lights, yep. Playing euchre, the whole deal.
And we didn't go up. We had one pilot. And we didn't, like, take turns going up to the front to sit next to him with, like, all, like, the air traffic control that could have been talking to us. That could have shed more light into our conversation right now. But get my point at all? Why can't I see what the pilots are doing? Let's make sure that these guys aren't just napping the entire time.
Well, there's security concerns.
What do you mean? What are the security concerns?
To not have a closed locked door to the cockpit?
I'm talking about a camera where, like, I can, like,
you
just
want a live stream?
Yeah, I want a live stream.
No, you know what? No, it's like saying I want to live stream a doctor in surgery. They have to focus on that. Ben Brust, think about how difficult it is for you to focus on simply talking and listening while you're on camera. You're doing it right now. You're not paying attention because you're,
Ben Brust,
being on camera.
Tell me how hard it is to talk and listen while you're on air. Nailed it.
No, while you're on the camera. Because right now you're focused on being on the camera.
No, he's trying to get me on the camera.
So now all of a sudden you got a pilot who's worried about getting himself on the camera or what he's saying on the camera.
I don't even need audio. I just want visibility. I want to see how hard they're working when we're, like, when the seatbelt sign goes on. I want to know if this guy's
wheeling and dealing. Clearly something you've made up on the spot and have thought through. Uh-huh. Not at all.
No. No, this is not. Like, this is something I think about every time I fly.
At no point in your life flying were you ever like, oh, I really want to watch the pilots right now.
No, this is where you're trying to catch me in, like, a lie.
I'm not trying to catch you in a lie. Like, I am blatantly stating that I believe that you are just trying, the BS is flowing out of you in real time.
No, see, like, this is one of the things where it's just not. Like, flying to me is, like something I'm not, like, the most comfortable with. So if there's ways to make me more comfortable, of course, it all comes back to me and my comfort levels here. I want to just, like, even if it's just a camera, I don't need audio. I don't need alpha, beta, zeta, right, left, Ralph to whatever they say on the 10-4 and nonsense. I literally just want to see
10-4.
Yeah, I just want to see them flying the plane. Like, is that too much to ask? I don't think so. Like, just a little visibility where I can, on my monitor, switch on over to the pilot screen.
You won't even know what you're watching.
Like
you will have no idea what you're watching with no audio. You're merely watching two people.
I want to see if they're panicking or not, because if they're panicking, I'll panic if they're not.
But exactly. That's my point. What is the net benefit of if they panic, then the passengers start to panic? Like, what are we doing here?
But what?
You're on the plane.
No, you're stuck.
Whatever happens on the plane happens.
You can't
control it.
Yeah.
The best thing that can happen is everyone remains calm. So therefore, why even show the video?
So I've noticed that obviously flight attendants during some bad turbulence, they usually never freak out because they've been through so many flights. They make me feel calm because they're not freaking out. And so if we're
say calm?
Calm.
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 And if the flight, if the pilots are just like wheeling and dealing and they're just like, no sweat. You know, we just took a hard drop, 100 feet and we're good to go. You know, but if they're like, oof, nervous, then
what?
Yeah, what? How does this benefit you any way?
It doesn't. Again, okay. This is him not having thought through any of
this. Yeah, maybe I was workshopping it.
Yes, thank you. That's my entire point, is that you're using the on-air time here to workshop your thoughts about potentially getting visibility into
the cockpit.
Into the cockpit.
Yeah, I mean,
I got nothing more to say. You guys caught me.
Awesome. Yeah. Way to lead us into that dead end, right?
Well, you know, you could have been a little more helpful.
Yeah. You really left him out to dry.
You try and just, like, when I'm going places, I'm searching places, you just want me to be like...
No, it's just a horrible point. Like, again, there's no upside.
It's a horrible point, just simply put.
You want me to lie? Like, no. It's meaner if I pat you on the head and say, hey, Benny, good try, good effort.
You could have said, maybe you should have workshopped it a little more.
Why can't you do the pat me on the head?
Yeah, it's insulting.
Pat him
Is
on the
it?
Butt.
Yes.
Hey, bud, like, you know, I appreciate your effort, but just be better next time.
Yeah.
I'm more interested, so how does your fear of flying manifest itself then?
What do you mean manifest itself?
Like, you're afraid of flying, so how does that, like, come out? Like, are you somebody who, like, gets nervous? Is it just
nervous?
My hands are sweating. Do you get hammered in order to prevent it?
You know I get hammered. And the worst part is
maybe I'm trying to lead you into a direction there.
Yeah, I mean,
so maybe don't tell me you know when I get hammered, but just tell the audience about you showing up to the airport 2 hours early.
Eight thirty flight, 6 a.m. double screwdriver. I don't care what the cost is. I'm an airport bar's best friend. There is no wrong in drinking early at the airport. You could drink at any time in the airport, and I feel like it is socially acceptable. So I start with and I try to stay away from beer. That's my pro tip if you're a drinker when you're flying, because beer, you're going to have to get up a lot on the plane to go to the bathroom. Yep. It's likely going to run through your system a little bit quicker. I drink on the plane. I also have to have the window open. Like, for some reason, as long as I can look out the window and, like, see, you know, what's going on, like, I feel a little bit more comfortable. Like, if I'm sitting on the aisle and the person shuts the window, I don't say anything, but gosh, do I get mad. Like, open it up. Let me see. I want to make sure we're all right. Whew, and now I'm getting nervous about
flying. Do
you sleep?
No, I can't sleep. But I did sleep on a red eye that we recently took together. It was amazing. I think that's partially because I passed out from the alcohol that we had prior to the flight.
Hilsey chimed in and said, FYI, mics are still on. I don't know what that means.
Oh, on the stream. Probably.
No, I think they probably heard us talking before we went live. Like, before we thought we were live?
Could be. No, this was just a minute ago. I just want to make sure we're not anywhere we're not supposed to be. Appleman in the Orchard says, we were island jumping with a small plane in the Caribbean when the crew did not shut the door tight upon liftoff. My wife and I were told to hold the door shut until we landed again. Appleman streaming.
Yeah, I mean, look, if there's anyone I've met, Appleman, that has, like, the ability, he's a good hard worker, probably strong enough to keep that plane door down. I trust Appleman, if I was in that plane, to know we're going to get there with that door shut.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't want to know what happens. I don't want to see the sausage get made. I just want to get on a flight.
You just want to eat the sausage.
Get to sleep as quickly as possible, and then wake up on the other side. I'm a plane sleeper. That's my goal.
You are. You're a good plane sleeper.
I want to sleep on the plane. I don't want to watch movies. I don't want to drink. I'll read a little bit if I can't fall asleep, but I like to pass out pretty quick.
Yeah, let's get off the plane convo. It's giving me anxiety.
Why?
Because I don't like flying, obviously.
Okay. I do want to talk a little Packers because Mark Murphy had some interesting things to say about this Packers team. Obviously, without Devontae Adams, we're getting takes left, right, and center. We'll hear from Mark Murphy, the Packers president and CEO, next on Scalzo and Brust, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust.
They're lying. Raisins suck. Raisins suck.
We know that people like raisins.
No, they don't.
Because raisins are sold and people buy them. They spend their money on raisins.
No, it's Big Grape. They got to get rid of those extra
grapes. Did you know that a raisin originated as a grape?
Yeah. Okay.
It's part of the wine family.
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people call me Maurice. I speak of the pompousness of love. People talk about me, baby.
I'll be honest, I'm very unhappy right now. Very unhappy.
Rage, Greg.
And I don't blame Hunter. I blame Jesse Nelson, the director of operations there at ESPN Madison, because right now, Well, this is not a bad song. Well, Steve Miller Band. It is Grateful Dead Thursdays, not Steve Miller Band Thursdays.
Mm-mm.
And Hunter, you're informing us that you can't play Grateful Dead music on the show today because you have another recording on the computer that you can't close out of or save.
So basically, the recording software, if we have two windows of it open on this computer, as soon as I click out of the recording of this show to try and play the Grateful Dead music the way that we would normally play it, it would stop the recording, and then we wouldn't have the show for people to listen back to on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Well done, Hunter. Listen to Scalzo and Brust podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find us there. Just search Scalzo and Brust. So you're saying because you have one window open of the Scalzo and Brust recording, like you can't play something else off of YouTube on the same computer?
Correct, because there were two windows of the recording software open, and it just confuses the computer too much. So it doesn't let me do it. I was trying to do it during the break.
So real quick, we moved into a brand new.
No,
awesome...
I'm still confused on this. So what are the two windows that are of recording right now? Hunter's not a big fan of mine. I'm sure right now. What are the two recording windows that are open then? Because we only need one recording window open for recording of this show, and then a window of like YouTube just to play off.
So I had opened up a window for Wildy and Tausch and then was pulling the audio from the 20 minutes we had with Mel Kiper Jr. And then I believe another teammate didn't was open, opened up another one, recorded there for Rutledge and Hamilton. And then it was open and I didn't catch it until the show had started. So my bad for not catching it. And
you can't save the Rutledge and Hamilton recording and close out of that window.
Not 2 hours of radio within the like minute and a half that I had left on that break. The computer doesn't work fast enough.
Got it.
So you're saying there's a potential.
And you're
solution.
Saying that you were forced to cut the Mel Kiper audio, which we still have yet to receive here on this show, because Jesse Nelson was too lazy to do so earlier in the day.
Jesse Nelson is filling in for Alex Strofe doing production, so that fell onto me. I also do another full-time role, which I was also trying to do
at
the same time.
Yes, he doesn't want to throw Jesse Nelson under the bus.
Yeah, why are you protecting Jesse here?
Because I should have come through as a teammate and gotten you guys that audio on time,
you know,
and been ready for this.
Pat on the back to Hunter.
Shout out, Hunter.
Even though we know Captain Underpants is the real problem here. So, Hunter, one question. During this next break, will you be able to save the file you need to so then you can open and play Grateful Dead music in that 4-minute gap we have? Is that possible?
I genuinely hope it is. Well, I'm going to go as quickly as I possibly can.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, this is a nice behind the scenes look at what happens when the person in charge doesn't do their job, and it trickles down. And
to
Hunter,
the 4 to 6 show.
And Hunter at this point is like, "Hey, I'm going to go ahead and do the best that I can." And of course, we get nothing. Right? We get nothing here. We don't get the sound that we need. We don't get the music that we need here.
Well, it's funny because you know. At first, we were joking, like, oh, Jesse stinks at his job. But, like, you know, sooner or later, when you just consistently have Jesse screwing things up, is this sabotage? The guy hosts Wildy and Tausch one day, and then he's like, I put my big boy pants on, and I had the worst take in the world thinking Tom Brady and Bruce Arians didn't have anything to do with each other. They're unrelated. And Tausch is rolling his eyes at him, and someone gave him a microphone to be on Wildy and Tausch. That was mistake number one. So then he gets off the air, and he's like, I'm going to do production. Probably just sitting there listening back to the full 3 hours of him on Wisconsin On Demand, on Wildy and Tausch, not doing the rest of his job. And we have to pick up the freaking pieces.
And that's what we got, but I do want to talk about what Mark Murphy said about the Green Bay Packers. I know, I am livid right now.
I am fuming inside, Greg.
But we will move on for the benefit of the Scalzo and Brust family. Hunter, one thing I will ask you to do for me is next segment, maybe, or before Jesse leaves, I would like you to bring him in and have him join us here on the show so we can get to the bottom of what's occurring right now.
Oh, don't worry, he'll be already on his way out.
But I do want to hear from Mark Murphy. This is him via Packers.com. We forgive you for the awful music you're going to hear in the background. Not the best production quality by the Packers there. They're still learning how to do that. But Mark Murphy talking about how, hey, Packers fans, have a little patience.
I feel good. I have a lot of confidence in both Brian and Matt, I think, and Russ. This obviously, I think, might be our offseason MVP with trying to juggle the salary cap. But obviously, we lost Devontae. I hated to see that. But on a personal level, I know that's what he wanted, and I think it ended up where it was kind of a win-win for him and for the team. So I know a lot of people are panicking. Who's Aaron going to throw the ball to? Well, we don't have a game for quite a while, and I know Brian and his staff are planning. With the draft capital that we have now, Larry, I think, I'll just say the draft's going to be very interesting this year. I think we can really help ourselves.
That Mark Murphy there with a little sweetener at the end, a little sweetener for us there at the end, and echoing a lot of the things that I've said. I did not write that for him this time, but echoing a lot of the things that I said in the sense that there's still a long way to go, and there isn't really a need for fans to panic. There are months between now and the start of training camp and a whole lot of movement because the NFL isn't what it was 20 years ago, where at this point in free agency, you've got what's left, and then all of a sudden you've got the draft and teams are reticent to trade. Not anymore. Every single team is constantly in flux. There's been more transactions here over the past few years than there's ever been in the NFL, and I anticipate that continuing to grow exponentially. So you hear him say we have a lot of draft capital. He thinks this draft will be interesting, but I get the sense that that means that they have some trade talks that are up their sleeve, that they have some conversations they've already had, certainly no deals that are done, but they kind of know what's out there and what that's going to take in order for them to ultimately get back a piece that they believe is valuable, or I believe multiple pieces. You're not going to replace Aaron, you're not going to replace Devontae Adams. You do have to do so through the aggregate and through having different guys taking different pieces of it and relying on Aaron Rodgers to grow and continue to grow. And for anybody that says, oh, he's stuck in his ways, and I know Homer said that yesterday on Homer and Tony. We'll talk with him, Homer, tomorrow.
Yeah, because that's pretty stupid.
On Scalzo and Bross, like, well, no, he stinks with young receivers. He can't throw to a young receiver. The guy has changed how he's played with
his
Matt
entire
LaFleur,
career.
And he's continued to grow late in his career in a way that I do believe he deserves credit for. And I think that he can continue to grow. And he has that trust with his coaching staff to grow. And he's motivated to make it work in Green Bay because there are no throwaway years left for Aaron.
Yeah, look, I will be disappointed if the Packers don't make some sort of move for a wide receiver, and not just based off of the Mark Murphy sound, but I'm not going to lie, the Mark Murphy sound does get me a little bit excited because he says it's going to be an interesting draft. He does kind of put his chest out about the draft capital that they got for Devontae Adams. Whether you think it was enough or it wasn't enough, Mark Murphy is confident that Brian Gutekunst has enough draft capital to play with to bring in somebody for this Green Bay Packers roster, likely a veteran, likely someone that's also potentially drafted in the draft that, it's not going to be the same Packer team that we've seen, but that's okay. You got to have trust in the coaching staff. And like you said, think about the offseason conversation that we had when Matt LaFleur got the job. Is Aaron going to be able to audible at the line? Think about that. That was heading into Matt LaFleur's first season. Now we're heading into year four, and it's just replacing one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, which is no small feat. It's a very big deal. But I'd like to think that you've developed in other ways as a team. I think the defense is going to be better than they were last year, and they were pretty dang good. You're getting Jair Alexander back, and Za'Darius Smith is gone, but that's still a net positive gain to me. So I trust that they're going to be able to bring in enough pieces. Will it be stud wide receiver, top 10 wide receiver in the NFL? Maybe not, but Aaron Rodgers is a two-time MVP the last two seasons for a reason, and I'd like to think that similar somehow we know Giannis isn't an MVP conversation. Nikola Jokic is like a front runner to win the MVP in the NBA. You know why? Because he took guys that were not as good as guys as he's had on the past, and he's elevated their game, and that's what you're going to need
from an Aaron Rodgers this season.
844-770-3776. Who's going to benefit the most in the absence of Devontae Adams? Is it an Allen Lazard? Is it the running back tandem of Aaron Jones and the carrier of men, A.J. Dillon?
Yeah, it's sticking.
Is it Josiah the Messiah DeGuaro or Bubby Tunyon? Is it Aaron Rodgers? Because he gets an element of recognition that he hadn't gotten before throwing to players who aren't regarded as top 10 wide receivers in the league as he's had for most of his career. Is it Randy Cobb or Amari Rodgers, who claims he's in the best shape of his life right now?
What do you think about that, Josh?
I think that's a weird thing for a 22-year-old to say.
I feel like Josh, he's checked out right now.
He is.
You?
He's scrolling on Twitter right now.
He doesn't
now.
Know what to do. He's not running the show. He doesn't have the board in front of him. Like, what's going on?
I was actually looking at this wonderful comment here we got from at Packerbacker NFL. Skelzo and Brust is the worst sports show on 100.5 ESPN Radio. I've tried to listen a couple of times and feel dumber after listening. Get it together, fellas. LOL.
Appreciate the LOL.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
The profile picture is a Lombardi trophy that's on fire.
Oh, my God.
Cool.
Josh, I have a feeling this is a guy who had to endure the 70s and 80s of the bad years. So do you feel it?
No, I think this is somebody who wants to like be in Packers Twitter. It's a young kid. I'm guessing 22 to 28.
Yeah, know it all.
They tweet like a dork.
There it is.
Give me an example yeah. of them tweeting like a dork.
This tweet here. Rams, when it comes to the salary cap, and it is a gif of somebody ripping up paper. Rams are still all in, and I hate it. Drooling face emoji over a Christian Watson returning kicks. Mark is speaking my language, talking about Mark Murphy and literally the audio we just played. Well, seems like he shares a lot in common, especially since we just talked about that audio.
Other than the dork part.
Yeah, I mean, we're cool. He's not.
Shout out to with the 22nd pick in the NFL draft on Twitter at PackerBackerNFL. If you're listening right now, I want you to turn off your radio. I don't want you to listen to us
Packer
right now.
Backer.
We don't want you. We don't want you anywhere near the Scalzo
and Brust
family.
He's probably one of the ones who puts the Packers record in his bio. Just to let everyone know what the record is.
I mean, this is Jesse's burner account. Right?
This is Jesse Nelson's burner account. This is the Hall Monitor's burner. Packer backer.
Text into the show. Call us 844-770-3776. Who will benefit the most? Who's going to benefit the most from the absence of Devontae Adams? Plus, we'll have some 1 or 0 coming up next on a Grateful Dead Thursday. It's Scalzo and Brust, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust.
All right. All you got to do is repeat after me. I, Daniel Madison. Pledge myself to the Scalzo and Brust family.
Pledge myself to the Scalzo and Brust family.
From here into eternity.
From here into eternity.
Chugga chugga.
Chugga chugga.
Choo choo!
Choo choo!
Yay!
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hunter Vaughn for getting his you-know-what together, picking up the pieces that Jesse Nelson left behind, and getting us a little Grateful Dead on a Grateful Dead Thursday here on Scalzo and Brust. We are presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light. He is Ben Brust. I'm Greg Scalzo. Josh DiMaggio here as well. Let's get right into some 1 or 0.
Are you a 1 or 0? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Are you a yes or a no?
There's no such thing as a gray area. Life is binary. It's just a 1 or a 0.
Ben Brust, Greg Scalzo are your contestants for 1 or 0. Josh DiMaggio is your host. He asks us a question. We say 1 for yes, 0 for no. There is no gray area. It's that simple. Josh, you take it away.
Dr. David Jacobs, a professor of history at Temple University, claims that aliens are abducting humans from the planet utilizing mind control
to invade and take over Earth. One or zero. The alien side is the right side to be on for an invasion of Earth.
How is this guy still a professor?
He's a UFOlogist or UFOologist.
I mean, I'm glad there are people out there looking for it, but look, I believe aliens are real. The concept of them abducting humans,
that's
utilizing
fair.
Mind control for them to invade and take over the Earth is a step too far for me. A couple steps
imagine, too far. Imagine, though, if he was the guy who was right on that. Because I can't imagine there's a lot of people saying it. I mean, it would drive you mad if you knew that was happening. Now, I don't.
Well, I guess proof? We could say anything right now, and we just have to be professors at a university, and then it's taken spoken word.
Yeah, it seemed when I read it, I was shocked to find out he was at like
Temple.
Yeah, it's a fairly prestigious
good university.
Yeah.
Nah, they've made some mistakes. I'm gonna go zero. I'm gonna go zero on that.
You're human side.
I'm a human side guy. I want to play a home game. Give me the home field advantage. You come to Earth, I'd rather be on the human side than
like,
the alien side.
Like, that's
side.
The thing. Like, I know I have, like, I have some people where I know I would go to if there was, like, a zombie apocalypse. Like, you know, lots of guns, like, lots of stuff. Like, I could bunker down. But I don't have, like, an alien guy. Like, if we're going to fight aliens, like, who's your guy? Like, do you need a guy? Or are we just done for?
I mean, I don't think we're done for. It just, you know.
Their guns got to be better than our guns.
We don't know, though. We don't know anything about the aliens. We're just all making assumptions based off the sci-fi movies.
If there's aliens and they're able to, like, get to Earth, like, they're clearly way more advanced than us.
Same page.
At space travel, they might not be violent. Maybe they're coming here and going to show us their ways.
Right, but we're assuming that they're here because they have abducted and mind-controlled humans.
Well, I'm not...
And now they're trying to take over.
No, I don't believe that'll be the case, though.
Yeah, I'm not going off of that. Yeah. I'm just saying...
it's theater of the mind. Just go with it. If this is serious...
Dr. David Jacobs is a pea-brain.
If there's anyone on the show that would probably be abducted utilizing mind control, probably me. Of us three?
Are you the most abductable?
Probably. Aliens, like, throwing me in a hook, line, and sinker of some goldfish.
What do you know? Some goldfish. So you have them abducting you by a process of luring you like a trail of goldfish? Yeah.
Something like that.
I expected it to be a bit more of a... what's the word I'm looking for here? Like a much more technical process. Not the old school leave a trail to get back to follow.
And then they grab me.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on here. Last
it would be kind of sweet to get abducted by aliens. Like, if you were the person.
If I'm insured safe return.
No, that's not part of the deal. Like, you would be in history forever.
Yeah, but no one would believe you were actually abducted.
You think it would just be a missing persons case?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing, is we know aliens... I mean, aliens have touched Earth before.
You believe there have been aliens here?
I do believe there's been aliens here.
Because of pyramids?
And they clearly have lost. Give me the winning home team. I'm telling you right now.
I'm
not going to get a full planet of aliens coming to Earth. So even if they were coming here, like, give me the human side.
I have a
We're underrated. We underrate ourselves. We're like Packers fans. We always think we're worse than we are.
Don't we only use like 1% of our brain?
That's not true.
We need to pull out 99% to beat the aliens.
Somebody might have told you only use 1% of your brain.
Hey, whoa.
Come on.
I'm not saying that. I believe 10% is the number that is
still used. That's not great.
And I believe that number is also inaccurate. That's just a thing people say.
All right, well, what is it, Mr. Smarty
I don't
Pants?
Know.
Mr. Temple University professor?
Last night, Bruce Arians announced he would be retiring as the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. One or zero? Tom Brady forced Arians out.
You know, I'm going to go zero here. I listened to a really, really smart host from 9 to noon. Jesse Nelson was with Mark Tauscher this morning, and he didn't really give any, details of why it's not connected.
It just
but
said it kind
he,
of thing.
He just said, you know, I think two aren't related, and that's where I'm going to stand. I'm Jesse Nelson.
Yeah, I mean, the answer's clearly one. Like, he didn't want to return to Tampa. He wanted to keep playing. He retired. He didn't want to go back to Tampa. He wanted them to trade him. Tampa said no. Arians put his chest out there and acted like a tough guy and said, we won't trade Tom Brady. Then Brady ended up overseas at Manchester United with...
the Bucks owner.
With the Glazers, the Bucks owners. And they brought him back. And then a couple weeks later, Arians is out. Like, this is a very clear linear path.
You literally can't... Like,
and Arians...
he couldn't even give me, like, a real conspiracy
and
theory.
And Arians is now a front office position, which is the ultimate. You didn't want to leave, but you're still going to get paid. You're going to still be a part of the organization. You'll still get a ring. You'll still get credit, but, like, you're not going to be Tom's coach. There's reports out there that Tom wanted to get traded to the Miami Dolphins at some point, which I don't entirely believe because Dale Arnold out of Boston is like was, like, an insider 30 years ago, not so much now. But I
also think, like, even going
there's
back
enough
to
smoke there where
Tom's
the fact
first
that this
year,
happened, it tells me there was a fire.
There was smoke Tom's first year. Like, within, like, the first couple games, Arians was, like, calling him out. And, like, at this point in Tom Brady's career, to have Bruce Arians calling you out as the greatest quarterback of all time, like I was just like,
and
I
his
was,
face is always red.
Yeah, he's just an old.
It is always red.
Like, he's one of those guys. We all know guys like that.
I have a hard time on the internet when I see pictures of him posted figuring out if they've been edited or if that's just actually his face.
Maybe he's an alien.
Todd Bowles also has coaching experience. This pretty much is like, hey, Byron Leftwich and Tom, you're the offensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Todd
Bowles,
will get the defensive
you touch
side.
Defense.
I mean, Tom Brady's the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes.
And he should be.
He's earned it.
It's like when Bill Russell was player coach for the Celtics.
He's earned it.
Kept winning championships.
1 or 0, Aaron Rodgers is jealous of Tom Brady's ability to assert control.
I'd say 1. But again, Tom's earned that. Aaron has earned some level of respect in decision-making, but not to the level of being coach. I mean, for criminy's sakes, he brought in Randall Cobb last year.
I'm going to say 0 here. I think that that's – I think it's a little bit of a – assumption that isn't as rooted in truth. I think if that were the case, he would have left. I think the fact that he stayed in Green Bay might have been an acknowledgement of, you know what, I didn't think this LaFleur guy was the fit, and he was. I didn't think that this, you know, front office was going to surround me with the team that they did, and they did. I think he's starting to come to the realization that maybe he isn't the know-it-all that he believed he was. You also have to remember, like, Tom Brady lives and breathes this stuff. Like, Tom Brady is flying his wide receivers to wherever he's vacationing and work out and get ready. And, like, Rodgers is trying to find himself. And both of those things are okay, but one of them is 100% of my life revolves around football. That's Tom Brady, so maybe he should have more control. Mm-hmm. And the other one is, I don't want football to be 100% of my life, and that is Aaron Rodgers, which means that why would he want more control over the organization? He wants influence, I believe. I don't think he wants control. I think he wants to make his I think he wants to feel like his opinions matter, but I don't think he wants final decision-making power. I truly believe that. As Aaron's number one supporter.
I believe
someone close to him.
I believe if Aaron Rodgers was granted the ability to fire Goody last year heading into his first day at camp, I believe he would have done that.
I agree. But I think he would have said by the end of this year there was no bleeping way
he'd
come
back.
And I think he's changed his mind a lot on that stuff, and I think that Goody is now saying, yeah, I want your opinion.
You think if Aaron Rodgers said if Aaron Rodgers was told you get to handpick your GM today,
how the hell is he going to know who's a good GM? That's my point. He never would have hired LaFleur. He would have gone and hired, like, Joe Philbin as his head coach. I mean, it's why Tom Clements is his quarterback coach. He only knows what he knows.
He does. So then he'd bring back Elliot Wolf and say, hey, guess what?
Clay You're Matthews, our GM. Matthews, Jordy Nelson, blast from the past, 2022 Packers.
I'm just interested in the dynamic.
No, I think he's come around and said, you know what? Let me have an opinion that matters. Let me make a few calls if I really want it, like Randy Cobb. You know, if you get Randy Cobb for a milli, give me my BFF. I don't think he wants final decision-making power. I really don't. It's a lot of pressure.
That's all I got.
How was it today? Better?
It was better.
I thought so, too.
I thought it was
brought
better.
It a little better.
Had a couple down days in
yeah.
1 or 0s recently.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it today, Josh.
Pat on the back to you.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I put a lot of effort into it today.
That didn't feel sincere.
I actually did. I bought. I didn't do any bring backs. Sometimes I'll bring back two that I thought were good and are worth.
I scrolled down through six one or zeros. And
six
there were
fresh
no,
ones.
No bring backs, and I was like, "We're gonna have a good one or zero today."
Uh huh.
Rob Ninkovich, the former New England Patriot, believes that the Packers are not among the best teams in the NFC. We'll hear what he had to say and react next. That's Scalzo and Brust.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust.
Yeah, we probably handled that the incorrect way today, man.
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by Bud Light, the world's greatest beer, here on a Grateful Dead Thursday, 100.5 ESPN Madison. Today you had a temporary patented official, Scalzo and Brust, talking text line 844-770-3776. Again, 844-770-3776. Yes, Josh DiMaggio?
Have you been monitoring the talking text line?
Mm-mm.
We got a text here from David, the unofficial.
Subscribe, rate, and review challenge winner of Scalzo and Brust.
He says, Travis Walton was 100% abducted by aliens. Look up his story if you haven't heard of him. I am going to investigate more on the incident involving Travis Walton, but it appears he was a lumberjack. And on November 5th, 1975, he was abducted while working.
See, that could be you, Josh. We could have. I said, would it be cool to be abducted by aliens? And you could be this guy on this local radio show being talked about right now.
In Snowflake, Arizona, Walton was missing for 5 days and 6 hours.
It always happens in the desert.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Vegas, Arizona.
See, the thing about the desert is, like, that's where the military does a lot of testing. So is it aliens, or is it stuff going on with Area 51?
Oh, God, I'm not kidding. Andy from Milwaukee chimes in, says, tuning into the live stream on Twitter. That's right, we're live streaming video. You can follow us along at Scalzo and Brust on Twitter. Tuning into the live stream on Twitter for the first time. I've always loved Josh's contagious laugh on the radio. I love it even more now. Big fan of the show. That Andy from Milwaukee.
Oh, I thought we were going to get another beard reference, you know, Joshy on stream with the beard. Oh, now, oh, Joshy's pulling a Ben Brust.
Hilsey says, I get annoyed when you guys talk sports. Says Benny knows about the real moon landings. You know, he's on the abduction list.
Ah, I love me a good moon landing.
DP chimes in, friend of show, says, Josh, you were talking about the scientist going crazy because he knows about aliens and no one believes him. Have you guys seen the movie Don't Look Up? It's based on a scientist uncovering a meteor that will crash into Earth, destroying the planet, and no one believes him. I highly recommend the movie. Yes, an Oscar-nominated movie starring Leonardo DiCaprio,
Jennifer Lawrence, Timothy Chalamet,
J-Law,
Leo,
Ariana.
Is that an Adam McKay movie?
Yes, it is an Adam McKay vehicle.
Yes. I thought it was okay.
I wasn't impressed by it.
I
felt like they were trying to club me over the head with their message.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. It's a very politically motivated message.
I could get it. I have no problem with politically motivated movies, but a little subtlety is nice, you know. Make me read into it. Don't just tell me what you're telling me.
And Peter from the Fitch did a little homework for us on Dr. David Jacobs, who claims that aliens are abducting human beings and trying to mind control them into dominating the rest of the Earth. Says Dr. David Jacobs looks nearly identical to Batman's butler, Alfred. I bet Dr. Dave was trying to figure out what the hell was wrong with him and decided it was aliens.
That's a little mean.
Rude.
Yeah, that's a little mean, Peter and the Fitch.
Why? To Alfred?
Yeah, Alfred's a good-looking guy. I just think of this temple eater.
What actor is that?
Well, there's also like 80 different versions of Alfred over the time.
There's an Alfred we're all thinking
with
of.
The Christian Bale Batman?
Yeah. I'm Googling it. I thought Greg might know.
I actually want to look up this guy as well. What was this guy's loser name?
Dr. David Jacobs. You guys go ahead and continue your search. Are alien abductions real? 844-770-3776. Have you ever been abducted by aliens? Would you want to be abducted by aliens? 844-770-3776.
Oh, come on. This guy's 79. He's off his rocker. He could definitely have some issues going on mentally.
Am I approved to put a poll out that just asks, have you ever been abducted by aliens?
Yes. Put it on the poll on Twitter, @ScalzoRust. He looks spitting image to Alfred. Spitting image to Alfred the butler.
No,
that
he
is a
doesn't.
Tremendous call.
That is not Alfred. If we're looking at the same picture, that is 100% not Alfred.
Michael Caine is the actor, by the way, to close that loop. Michael Caine, very famous actor.
Yes, very famous actor indeed. Now, that is the late.
R.I.P.?
No.
Oh.
Don't kill Michael Caine.
I thought usually when you say the late,
he was the latest edition, the late version of Alfred Pennyworth, I believe is the full name for Alfred the butler, if I'm not mistaken. Shout out to me, not a comic book guy, just read it on Google. I wanted to get, thank you, Hunter. I appreciate that.
Oh, wait, Hunter has something on alien stuff, which if I'm going to hear.
Have you been abducted?
No, I haven't been abducted. But there's a theory that the reason why we don't see more aliens is that those civilizations hit some sort of an evolutionary wall that kept them from getting to us. And either we have reached that point already or we're close to it. And that's why we won't be able to get to that level of space travel. Just to make you guys, your brains hurt and terrify you a little bit.
Say that again. I'm a little bit confused.
I don't believe in an evolutionary wall.
So the idea is that the reason why we don't see aliens coming to Earth all the time is because those planets have hit some sort of a wall or did to keep them from getting to that point. And the question is, have we already passed that point or are we close to it to keep us from being able to do it since we've at least achieved space travel?
Are we aliens?
Well, if we go to a different planet.
To someone else, yeah. To someone else, we're aliens.
Okay.
By definition. I guess
no. That's BS. That's a lazy man's
I think
technology has grown and evolved and adapted in the last 100 years at an exponential rate to the 100 years before that, to the exponential rate into the 100 years before that. Like, there's no way we're hitting our evolutionary wall.
I think the idea of it is that the evolutionary wall is kind of hit by the fact when humans or aliens develop the ability to have the destruction at the level of an atom bomb or a nuclear weapon, that usually that ends in destruction of that there.
But that's not
species.
The definition of an evolutionary wall. You're saying that we're so evolved that we eventually destroy each other. That's different than eventually you just can't get any better or smarter or technologically.
Well, I used the wrong word for it, Greg. Like, evolutionary wall wasn't the best way to describe it. But the idea is
was the entire premise of your point, though. I mean,
no,
okay,
I used the wrong word to describe it.
So
at
you're
some point,
saying
they're
that just
get
eventually, you're saying eventually we'll just, like, it'll be mass destruction before we can evolve further.
Or there's something that essentially you unlock to be able to get to that level of space travel that
unlock.
Then you just wipe.
Have you seen Aaron Rodgers sling the pill? If you don't believe, watching Aaron Rodgers sling the pill should make you believe in the unbelievable.
In aliens?
Yes. Him to Davante Adams is something that you would only see on a different planet.
And in 2021.
Nailed it.
Thank you.
You want to know what else you can nail? Bud Light's $25,000 bank shot contest. Win 25 grand during Bud Light's $25,000 bank shot contest. All you got to do, scan the QR code to enter. If you're at the following locations, next time you're going to pick up Bud Light, find the QR code, scan it. It's like a virtual scratch off. You can win $25,000. Even if you don't win the 25 grand, you're automatically entered to win $5,000. That's right. $5,000. We'll be giving that away certainly to a winner in Madison or Milwaukee at a minimum, but you could win $25,000. So stop by Total Wine, Neil's Metro Market, Harley's Liquor, Love Harley's. And Bill's Food Center. Find the official rules. ESPNWisconsinContest.com. Got to be 21 to play. Bud Light's $25,000 Bank Shot Contest presented by the world's greatest beer. That light, clean, crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Enjoy it responsibly. It's a Bud Light night tonight on a Thursday, a Grateful Dead Thursday at that. Joshy DiMaggio introducing his girlfriend to his parents for the very first time this weekend. Plus, we'll hear from Rob Ninkovich, the former Patriot who doesn't put the Packers anywhere near the top of the NFC. All coming up on Scalzo and Rust in 2 minutes on 100.5 ESPN, presented by Bud Light.